us. You see that in 1 Corinthians 10, 2, and Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 also. What else do we have?
I was going to say that redemption and deliverance is a lot of accidents.
Mm-hmm.
And then to expand upon what people were saying, in order to understand the New Testament, you have to understand and know a lot about the Old Testament, because that explains it. But if you really want to understand the Old Testament,
yes,
that's when you need to start learning history and geography and more nations, so that you can learn about people.
Right.
Cultures.
Right. There's
the culture at the time, the geography, the things that they were living with, help you understand the Old Testament.
Exactly. Right. The Old Testament, we learn about being a Christian and how to live a Christian life in the New Testament, but there are examples and things that make it a lot easier for us to know and how to live the life as a Christian as examples that we get from the Old Testament. So it's, and there are some things in the New Testament that the Old Testament makes a lot clearer too for us. So that's a good one. Yes.
I think one thing that this really shows is the mercy and the severity of God that Paul talks about. People think that the people that came out of Egypt were really good people, but they really weren't. They brought the idol with them. They were idol worshippers by this time. Some probably held on to some of the things of God, but the law was, as Paul said, is made for the law of people. I mean, what kind of people do you be told if you neighbor's ox falls in the ditch, you gotta bring the ox out. And that's what you tell the children. So they didn't even have within them to do what you have to love the neighbors. He had to teach them that, and in the game of 40 years wandering, God had lose the map. He's trying to get the evil out of it. He's very patient. He couldn't just destroy the thing that he wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He chose to stop that. And so we are just like that too, where we rely on God's severity. Fear of God on us, those times when we just don't have the love in us, we're concerned about, oh, why do I want to be touched by God? And then the mercy of God, we look to that and say, I want to love God just so much, love how much He loves us. So we can see both of those motivations playing out in the book of Exodus and throughout the New Testament.
Okay. In Exodus, we also learn about, yes?
Are you still on question two, or were you moving on?
Sure.
I mean, I would just add that it shows God's fulfillment of His promises.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge part of it. I mean, obviously, you end Genesis with Joseph saying, God will surely visit you, in chapter 15, verse 25, and you will carry my bones up from here. You know, he believed in these promises that God had made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that they would inherit the promised land. Mm-hmm. And so Exodus picks up with, okay, well, here's how God's going to do that, and that He doesn't forget His people. And so makes a promise, you know, he's going to fulfill it, and here's how that happened. And so it shows his providence and his protection, his provision for his people, while at the same time showing that he does forgive sin, but also that he does punish sin as well.
Right. And when we get into Exodus and when they make the departure out of Egypt, you'll see that promise that was made to Joseph about carrying his bones out of there is going to be fulfilled, and they actually do that. Any other? Okay. We also learn about the character and work of the Lord, which may have been brought out there in Exodus 34 and verse 27. It says, the Lord God, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger. God is the Lord, and He wants us to know that. Yahweh or Jehovah, as it's written in the Old Testament there. This is the eternal one. God is that. The one that causes things to exist and the things to happen. This is, He made everything, and He causes everything to happen for His benefit, actually. And He wants us to obey Him. Okay, any other Thoughts or anything on that? Okay. The next part of it is the authorship, and I don't think we need to spend a whole lot of time on that. I believe that Moses is the author of the whole five books there, the Pentateuch. And if we take Mark chapter 12, verse 26, where Jesus says, "Have you not read in the book of Moses in the account of the bush?" And he's talking about Exodus chapter 3 there, how God said to him on that. This is Jesus talking about that. So, I mean, it's pretty much Moses is the author of that. In fact, he's the author of the first five books, and I believe that they were all written in sequence from Genesis through Deuteronomy in that order. So it's pretty much known throughout all of the scholars who don't have too much squabble about Moses being the author of that. What we do have to remember, though, is that God is the real true author of the whole Bible that we have here. Whether some men penned it or not, God had his hand in there. His spirit guided these people through that. There isn't any man on this earth, now or ever has been, that could write all of that stuff on his own and remember every detail of all of that stuff without the help of God to do it. So question number three is, what is the approximate date that Exodus was written, and what do you base this on?
Well, were you looking for the date of the Exodus or the date that the book was written, or both?
Exodus. When the actual book was written.
When the book was written.
Yeah. All right.
Likely somewhere between 1446 and 1406 in the 40 years after.
Okay. This is an outline here that goes from creation all the way through where Moses died. Moses died in 1406, and the exit from their bondage was in 1446. So somewhere during that 40 years of wandering in the desert where they were at is when Moses wrote these five books. You know, he was a busy man dealing with the people there, but with God's help, I'm sure he had found time to write all of this down. So what do, is there a scripture that we can base this on?
1 Kings 6:1,
okay. 1 Kings 6:1 says, "Now it came about in the 480th year after the sons of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord." Okay. So if we take the evidence that we have here, evidence that we have in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, was the same as the 480th year after Israel had come out of Egypt. And since the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel was 966 B.C., that puts the date of the Exodus at 1446 B.C. So between 1446 and 1406 B.C., and where's in that area, is when these five books, the Pentateuch, were written. All right. Yes.
Died in 1406 BC. written the books before this?
Yeah.
Oh,
had to be
1446
and 1406. You got to remember that this is B.C.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somewhere in the period of the wilderness wandering, that 40 years.
Right. Okay. B.C. means before Christ. Right? Everybody got that? So what does A.D. mean? Okay. Okay. All right. Very good. Yes?
Just a minor little thing. Of course, the last chapter of Deuteronomy, which is one of five books, he was dead at that time, so probably Joshua finished the book.
Right.
The last part of the book.
Yeah, just the last chapter.
Yeah. May not even be the whole last chapter, but most of that, the 40th one there, yes. Okay, question number 4. Yes.
Okay, you're talking about B.C. and A.D. If you start listening to some of the modern television shows, they talk about B.C.E. and C.E.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, don't get confused. The C.E. is current era.
Okay.
And that's basically based on the same principle. The dividing line is basically the same place.
Right.
They just named it different because of the Christian connotations before Christ and after his death. So current era, before current era.
Right.
This is an explanation I'm putting out there so people don't get confused when they hear that.
Yep.
BCE is before Christ.
Right. A lot of people don't want to believe in Christ, so they have other deals, yes. Yes, Bert.
Also, the calendar is a European calendar, and the calendar was not written in 81 or 0 or whatever. It was probably several hundred years after, and it was written in sequences and changed and filled in over the up to the 10th, 11th century. So it's
right.
Pretty. We can't depend on it. Our calendar, the European calendar, and they can say, oh, this is exactly what it was, because it's something that's built on after the fact, so they weren't,
the
ones that wrote it
weren't
even, well,
there's
several hundred years in between.
Right. Okay. Any more comments? Questions? Okay. Question number 4 on your outline there. What do you think the theme or themes of Exodus is?
Deliverance.
Okay. I've got like 5 things.
God keeps his promises.
Yep. I can't hardly hear you, Beverly. Okay. That's the redemption and that, yep. Redemption and leading. I have that. You see that in chapter 15 and verse 13. Okay. Yes, John.
God cares about his children.
God cares about his children? Yes.
Okay. The history of Israel from the death of Joseph to the construction of the tabernacle.
Okay.
I found it interesting. I don't know how they kept time before this, but in chapter 12, in verse 2, it says, "This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you."
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that was interesting.
Yeah.
The calendar year.
Yeah, well, their calendar year starts in like our April or somewhere in
there. Passover, they realigned it. Passover month to be the first.
Right. Okay, so we see redemption and leading, making into a holy nation. We'll see that in chapter 19 and verse 6. It says, "You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Israel became God's nation. He provided for them. He provided for them a leader. He provided for them liberation and leading, not just a leader, but an actual leading them. And then the laws, and he provided a divine worship for them to also do. Yes?
Paul mentions in Romans 9:17, talking about Pharaoh, it says, what Scripture says to Pharaoh, quoting from Exodus, he says, "For this very purpose I've raised you up to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth." As we read consequence from Exodus, they heard about what happened in Egypt. The nations around it, some of them, they had the heart, and you know, when they came to Jericho, she knew about what happened. So it spread out to the whole world. So God made an influence up in Israel.
What else do we have? Okay.
One minor note, maybe we're talking about calendars. We got to always remember that the Hebrew calendar is different than our calendar.
Right.
It was based on a lunar activity, where our calendar is based on the solar. And so, if you try to match the two together, you'll never make it.
Never make it, no. Okay. We also have a journey into God's presence. God said in 19:4, where he says, "I brought you to myself." And then we can also see the theme of the book in Exodus chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. So if you want to turn over there, I'll read that. Exodus 19, verses 4 through 6. Says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the people, for all the earth is mine. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel." Now, these verses here show God's power. They show God's power against the Egyptians and against the plagues that we're going to be seeing, and the killing of Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. It shows God's love. It shows God's love for his chosen people and for his promises that he made to Abraham for his chosen people. It also shows God's call for his people to obey him. Right? And they will also find out that there are consequences if they do not obey him. So this part here where God's call for his people to obey him, does that apply, since it is in the Old Testament, does that apply to us today too? Of course it does. It says, "Obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine." Right? God has the same promise to us today. If we are his chosen people, if we obey him, and there are also consequences for us if we don't. Now, the consequences for them back then seem to be a little bit more immediate than what ours do, but ours will come if we don't obey God. We will find out someday. So,
hey, you know, it's amazing how just about anywhere you look in the Old Testament, there are always messianic overtones. And this is certainly one of those places. I mean, again, he talks about being a treasure of possession. But again, he says, "All the earth is mine." So, you know, again, it's just, even though this is the treasure, everybody still belongs to him. And then he talks about being a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Well,
right.
Peter, what does Peter say in 1 Peter chapter 2? In verse 9, he says, "But you," again, addressing Christians, uses the same imagery when he says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession." I mean, that's drawing directly from this verse.
From that one, yep. Exactly. Very good. Okay, anything else? Okay, so let's look at question number five. We've probably got enough time just to go through this question here, and then we'll have to pick up from the rest of it on next week. So what do you believe the key words to this book are? The key words. I have two key words that I have written down here. Russ mentioned them earlier. Yeah.
Deliverance.
And
redemption.
Deliverance and redemption. Okay, that's what I believe the two key words are here. They were delivered from the Egyptians, and they were redeemed by entering into a covenant relationship with God. Okay, then. Question number six. I still got a couple minutes. What are the key phrases in Exodus?
Let my people go, that they may serve me, that you may know that I am the Lord.
Very good. Yeah, they deal with the same with delivered and deliverance and redemption. Let my people go. And it's not just let my people go. It's just let my people go so they can serve me. That was God's deal. And his whole purpose for that is that they may know that he was the Lord, that he was their God, the God of creation.
I like chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, but I'll just read verse 6 right now. It says, I established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I've heard the groaning of the people of Israel whom the Egyptians hold as slaves. And here's really where the key starts. And I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. So again, you have the deliverance and the redemption.
Yep. And we're going to see all the way through Exodus, when they, even from all the plagues and everything, they knew that God was the only one that could do all these things, and yet they still rebelled a lot. And a lot of complaints and a lot of rebellion on that part. So, but they were still God's people, and in the end they all pulled through and came together for the benefit of everybody on there. So this next question is going to get into a few things here. So I think we're going to leave off there. We've only got a couple minutes left here. So we'll... Any other comments or questions before we... Yes?
Point out that there is communication between God and man. God is talking to man. Mm-hmm. You know, we have several, you know, with God. Moses telling him, I can't talk. There is a communication that you see throughout the whole scripture.
Right.
It's not just a one sided. You have the open communication with God.
Yes. Yep. And we'll see that all through there. Moses is given everything that he's supposed to do by God. God gives him all of the everything that they need to do. But there's God knows. Yes, he does. Thank you. Okay, let's pick up from there on question number 7 next week. you said.
Mm-hmm.